This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
You know what? Don and I have been together a long time. Peter's been here, what, 7, 8 years? The three of us, it's a long-term relationship. And sometimes you've got to really come to grips with the fact that maybe the relationship is over, because it's amazing. Like, sometimes relationships run their course. So I was just talking to Jacob, and I was talking to our producer, Anthony. They both agreed that that was not the best Bob with shoes and spot. But Peter and Don, they refused to believe it because I said it. So it might, I mean, we might be coming to the end of this threesome. It might be time.
It's odd that you would take that turn when it's possible. I don't want to speak for Peter, that we're just talking up our guy. I don't want to rip our guy on the air.
I'm not ripping him. I said that what he said
he ripped us off
was calculated. Because we were insulting him and they talked too much. He obviously heard it. And then the first answer out of the box was, no, I don't know. So that's not Bob. Bob's a brilliant broadcaster. Brilliant. What'd you say, Anthony?
We have the drop of the first.
All right, here's the first question. Listen, why did the Islanders take until the end of the season to play their best hockey? Last year they did it. This year they're doing it again.
I don't know.
All right, good stuff. Bob,
even
stuff,
you
Bob.
Said
right along.
Good stuff. Good stuff, Peter. You said good stuff.
But that was funny.
Well, I know, but it wasn't funny. It was. Let's stick it to this big-headed freak who says I talk a lot. That's exactly what he did. And you guys, because it's me, and I'm actually saying my opinion, you can't back me up.
That's how you take it.
Yeah.
The world doesn't revolve around you, Mike.
I know, it doesn't at
you.
All. It
Maybe
doesn't.
We just wanted to have the back of a guy that we respect in Bob and didn't want to destroy him on
back
the air.
How about the back of your friend?
You never have our back, and this isn't even about having your back. This isn't someone attacking you. This is you attacking someone else.
You're two really awful people. That's all I could say.
You know what? You know what? You know what, Mike? What's your name? Don?
You know what?
Let's say the thing that we need to say so Michael appreciates us.
Okay.
I'll speak for both of us. Don and I absolutely would cheat on our wives for money, and we hate Bob Wischusen. Are you happy?
No, I don't think no.
Is that what has to be said, Don? Is that what
has
to be said?
You absolutely just, you actually confirm what I'm saying. You're both awful people. You just are. And awful friends. And again, sands through the
air. All right, hold on.
And we've had a great run. There's no denying it. Great run. Top of the ratings. We've gone through everything. It might be over. It might be over.
But how did it end?
It might have run its course.
All right, let's play this out. It's a good 5 o'clock hour segment.
I like it.
Let's play this out. All right, you're right. It's done. So what's the exit strategy, as I like to say?
I don't know.
Because I got another year after this. So you want me to walk away?
No.
I think we got to try to make this work. We're all under contract.
I think that this now requires heavy lifting. Because, the natural friendship and camaraderie, it's gone. It's
I don't feel that way.
If you've become vipers toward me, that's okay. I think it's cute. I just don't know if it plays all the time. He clearly gave a bad performance as a guest, and you can't even bring yourself to agree with me. It might be over.
Let's just say, for sake of argument, that you're right.
I am right.
That we're lying and we agree with you. When does that become good sports radio? To just all agree with everything Michael Kay says?
I have learned at the foot of Don LaGreca, make it all out there. Tell the truth. We don't, even Peter said earlier, we don't do this stuff for clicks. We tell the truth.
So why can't we disagree with you and you take offense to it?
Don't you believe that it would have been better radio if you both thought that Bob Wischusen was absolutely horse manure take?
But it just didn't cross my mind.
And well, I'm telling you, you want to play that again, Anthony? Play it again.
Oh, God.
Play it again. Why did the Islanders take until the end of the season to play their best hockey? Last year they did it. This year they're doing it again.
I don't know.
All right, good stuff.
Bob, stuff, Bob.
Moving right along.
See, it's interesting. But let's really dissect that.
Yeah.
Clearly, you can hear, Peter, that it was off-putting to Michael, Bob's response.
Mm-hmm.
My response was genuine laughter because I thought it was funny.
Me too.
And you snapped back, you know, to try to make it work. Like, our visceral reactions to that tell you that we were telling the truth. Like, you didn't like it. I thought it was funny. Because if he was listening and heard us bash him about he talks too much, isn't that a money response?
Oh, I love it.
I don't know. We laughed.
I'm not saying it was bad. It was brilliant. You know how vindictive I am. So if that was the way he answered our accusation of him being long-winded, good for him. But don't say it was a great segment. KT Wizard on X said, I have to agree with Michael K. Bob bagged the appearance today, no doubt about it.
But see, that's where we disagree. Now, was it the best we've ever gotten from Bob? Absolutely not. I agree with you there.
I'll take that.
He's not bagging it. And I thought he probably did hear we made fun of him. We've always talked about that. We've said it to him. And I think that was a great response. But I think he was trying to be a little funny. Some of the jokes didn't necessarily hit. I don't think it was intentional.
Well, also, I mean, you act as if... See, now this is going to sound like I'm the one insulting Bob. I love Bob. I love hanging with Bob. I think he's a great guy and a wonderful broadcaster and commentator, play-by-play guy. You act as if, like, when he calls, he's Jeff Passan or Steve Young. I mean,
he has that potential. He's brilliant.
No,
the
he
guy,
doesn't.
I heard, sources have told me that he reads the side of a cereal box during breakfast to the kids. He loves to talk.
Okay, see, now again, back to the insult. All you do is insult the guy. All I'm saying is, right. I like Bob a lot. When you guys said today Bob was calling in, I thought, that's nice. I'm going to make some fish jokes with him. I'm going to have a good time. I never thought, oh my God, Bob is going to come dropping in heat rocks. That's not what Bob does when he calls in.
Let me put it this way. If Bob performs on the Islanders-Rangers game tomorrow at 12:30 on ABC, the way he performed on this segment, he's going to get a call from Jimmy Pitaro.
Wow.
You really think so?
Oh, if he's like that, if that's... But you know what? Bob will be shot out of a cannon at 12:30 on ABC.
But I think that was quintessential Bob. He's got a very dry sense of humor.
Well, it was Aaron.
You want to be honest. I don't think we were Edward R. Murrow during that interview.
That's a great point also.
We gave him some questions to promote the game. I kind of went back and forth with him with the Heedle stuff. Listen, I don't need anybody to tell me about Rangers Islanders. I should be telling him. Ooh. But we had him on to promote the game, and we did that. But again, we weren't dissecting, this was not Frost Nixon. All right, we're just having some fun back and forth, and I think he kind of treated it that way. He's promoting the game. Okay. We threw some Jet stuff at him.
Good,
Right,
I'm
Peter. I didn't look at that. I don't think any of us need him to tell us what to expect tomorrow. He gave his opinion. It wasn't really an interview. It was kind of just him joining us to promote the game. And he was funny. Now, funny could be hit or miss. I get it.
Missed.
And Bob's got kind of an Iron Eagle sense of humor, very dry. Take it or leave it.
It's all right. No, I'm good. I actually feel cathartic almost. It has to be said. The sands are running through the hourglasses. Not that many sands left. Hopefully it lasts the whole year. That there's enough sand to last the
whole
year.
Michael, I mean this, and again, I don't want to speak for Peter. If you got to go, go, man.
I don't want to go.
No, I
don't want to go.
Like,
you guys want to go,
through. No, I make this work every day. I don't look at the finish line. I look at now. I'm like a coach. We asked Peter Laviolette about the President's Trophy. No, I'm only worried about the next game. I'm worried about the next segment, all right? I'm not thinking about sand through the hourglass. I'm not thinking about it all coming to be an end. If you think that way, then go. We got a show to do. I'm trying to do the best show possible till 6:30. And you know what I'm going to do next, Peter? Monday. What are we doing Monday? What's Monday's show?
Here's the way I look at this show now. Is when you walk in to a hospital room and there's an elderly relative hooked up to that machine. And I don't see the clear heartbeat like I used to.
Oh, my God. Then go, man.
No, I'm not going
anywhere. I'll pull the plug. If you're the elderly person, I'm pulling the plug.
I am still performing at an incredibly high level. I'm saying... The camaraderie between the three of us is not what it used to be.
I don't think it's ever been better.
Really?
Honestly, I feel very close to you.
Well, because we didn't kill Bob with Shuzin's hit? I don't understand. The hills you choose to die on, man.
But no, because this all comes back again to it all about Michael.
But Mike Kubica on X goes, Michael is 100% right. I feel like Don knows it, but doesn't want to throw Bob under the bus on
it's,
air.
Listen, if you said to us, hey, guys, was that one of the great segments we've ever had on the show? Both Don and I would have said, no, not great. It wasn't top 10. If you said, who was better, Bob or Doc today? I would have said, Doc. But for you to point out, was Bob Wischusen awful? No, he was just fine.
Why do you take this agreement personal?
I don't look at it as personal.
2 days ago, you asked us to would you. We sincerely disagreed with you, and you think we're lying bad people.
No, I didn't say bad people. I just said liars.
Well, liars are bad people.
No, there are liars that lie for a reason. You guys are lying to keep your relationship together.
You would lie for $250 million.
I wouldn't lie. She would never know. There'd be no
lying. That's still lying. That is still lying.
Here, I thought of an answer to you while I was driving home. And I said, I'm going to bring this up to Peter. I'm glad you just brought it up. So you said you've dealt with guilt before, right? And you don't like the feeling. It's awful, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You did that for nothing.
Yeah, no.
But for $250 million, you couldn't deal with it. You got guilt to do nothing, but $250 you'd say, I can't do it again.
Hold on. First of all, I say this completely respectfully. How dumb are you? Honestly.
I think I'm brilliant.
No one does anything that creates massive guilt for nothing, Don. Believe you me, there's something the person is doing it for. But if one has experienced before that feeling before and hated it and would never want to feel it again, there might not be a price that would then make that feeling worthwhile. Don, doesn't that make perfect sense?
Yes.
How much money is enough money? Where do you draw the line? So if I have 50 million, 100, where is it? I have nowhere near either of that amount, but I'm not thinking about where my next meal is going to come from, and I don't live with any guilt. It's great.
JJ in North Carolina tweets, it takes a lot for JJ in North Carolina to agree with Michael, considering he calls me hack every chance he gets, but I have to agree with Michael here. Brutal and awkward performance by the Weasel Man.
You know what? Fine. Is it going to make it better if I say he was bad?
No, because I'm just saying, and I love you guys. Your first inclination always is to disagree.
See, now
we've hit it.
When I'm right.
But now this has nothing to do with Bob. This has nothing to do with guilt. This has everything to do with your ego feels challenged every time we disagree with you. What kind of show do you want us to do here, Michael?
No, you're wrong. It's a physical and mental impossibility to always disagree with me. It's inconceivable
that
I can be so far off
the
planet that you can disagree with me every single time.
I agreed that we thought that when you said Doc was great, we agreed. I agree with you a lot of times.
You guys are afraid to be negative, and I'm the only one who wants to go out on a limb, make great radio.
This whole thing is sad, and it is upsetting.
Let's go to the phones.
This is so disconcerting.
It's not. You know what this is, Don? This is real. This is raw.
I don't doubt that, but is it necessary?
You said everything is good for the radio. You told me that.
I know, but it doesn't.
You taught me to be a radio
man. I know, but not like this, where you're challenging the relationship and the direction and the future of the show.
No, I think that the camaraderie isn't there anymore. You guys don't like me. I get it. That's all right. Let's go to Dan in Pasadena.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Really hope you're joking about the show breaking up.
It's not breaking up. It just feels that way.
Okay, good. Because, Michael, as you may know, a lot of people out here in L.A., they kind of hate you right now. But I'm not one of those people. Just want to make that clear before I get to my point. I love the show. Listen every day. Usually, I can stomach Don's Dodger hate. I know he hasn't gotten over 88. I know Nancy's a Giants fan. But, I just have to ask regarding the Shohei story. Have you actually read the federal complaint yet?
I've read a lot of it. I haven't read all of it, to be honest.
Okay, no, that's understandable. I mean, it's a long thing. Because I feel like, I totally get your point about him, not speaking to the media as a fan. I'd love him to speak to the media more. Seems like he only answers questions about once a week, once or twice a week. But I feel like your questions yesterday about, when Don was saying the whole thing stinks, and you kind of suggested that, the translator might be the fall guy. I think a lot of those questions would be answered just by kind of reading the complaint. I think
How so?
If you go through the evidence, Well, I think it pretty much exonerates Shohei. They have a lot of evidence. I mean, unless you think, like, do you think the DOJ, Homeland Security, and the IRS are, like, conspiring to protect him? Or what is kind of your position when you say the whole thing stinks?
Don, you go.
Well, because the complaint is, I guess, did he steal the money from Ohtani? So clearly the evidence shows that he took it, but it just, what doesn't connect is, how do you not know that money's gone? How can you possibly have all that money stolen from you and you have zero idea?
Yeah, Dan, does that make sense to you?
That's the point. Maybe none of it can be proved. Maybe none of it can actually tangibly be proved. But all we ask ourselves is, does it make sense that somebody who is your best friend, you practically live together, it's almost like you're in a married relationship, and he's made 119 or 19,000 bets in 2 years. He has stolen millions of dollars from you, and you have zero idea?
Yeah, it's a fair skepticism, but I think, you know, you see athletes, not all the time, but there are other examples of athletes that have had larger sums of money stolen from them. And
that's a good point.
I think, but not by their close friend. Well, I think that he took advantage of it. I mean, when they first met, you know, I think Shohei was only, you know, he might not even been 20 years old yet. Right. I think he took advantage of him. I think,
is it fair to call him a rube?
Can you define rube? I'm sorry.
Well, just an ignoramus, completely oblivious of everything around him.
Well, maybe. I mean, I don't know.
Well, not maybe.
But I mean,
but give me the. I'm not even a Dodger hater. My dad grew up a Dodger fan. It's one or the other. Either he's completely ignorant or he's in on it. There's no in between. You can't have that much money stolen from you under your nose and say that he's not a complete ignoramus or that he was in on it. There is no third answer. There's only two.
Well, Don, the allegation is that he impersonated Ohtani to the bank and even changed the settings on the account so Ohtani wouldn't even know.
But here's what I want to ask you, because you started with this and you sound like a very reasonable guy. So people in LA hate me. What if I said that's wrong? I have said none of it smells right, but I'm willing to say that he's innocent. The one thing that I've harped on is that this guy has refused to take questions. It's unacceptable. They hate me because of that. People in L.A. hated Ohtani when he was with the Angels. Now all of a sudden he's gone.
I don't know about that.
Would they have bowed down to him like they do now, and they're protecting him against a big, bad, big-headed freak in New York who says he should answer questions?
I think that when you said he has a God complex, and I know you were saying if he bet on baseball, he should be banned. I get that. I think maybe you were taking a little bit out of context, and I do think, I think just this idea, especially, you know, yesterday when it seemed like you almost doubled down in some ways.
He should be answering questions to the media. And Dan, forget about the money. Forget about it. What pitch did you hit for a home run? He doesn't even do that. Who is he? Why is he not allowed to do that? Aaron Judge has to do it.
He doesn't talk every day, but he does talk at least once a week.
And Aaron Judge talks every day. Why does he talk once a week? Why? Why is he away from
quarterback? You have to ask him. I'm not with his people. So, like I said, I would love to see him talk more. I mean, I watch the post game every night hoping he'll talk.
Inconceivable, Dan, that I know you're being somewhat facetious, but people hate me because I'm saying he should talk like every other big star in sports.
Well, I think the bigger issue that people are taking is when you guys were saying that the whole thing stinks, and you're kind of suggesting that, you know, he somehow either covered the debts knowingly, even though that there's this entire investigation by the DOJ and Homeland Security that basically found. I mean, they reviewed 9,700 pages of text between him and the interpreter, and there's not a single message
I've said it over and over again. I love watching the guy play. I hope he's completely innocent. And all that we have said, that even if he's completely innocent, and Dan, if you're being honest with yourself, none of it makes sense. None of it makes sense that somebody could steal $16 million from Jeff Bezos, who has $100 billion. And I think he'd notice $16 million missing. That's the only thing that doesn't make sense to me.
They say he has a lot more money than $16 million, and it's alleged that the translator impersonated him to bank officials and changed the settings so Shohei wouldn't even know that the money, that these transactions were happening.
And Dan, what I've been saying over and over again is, if this is all true, Shohei has to fire the bankers, get the money back from the bank, has to fire all of his people.
He needs a better team.
His team is awful. His team of the Oakland A's.
$16 million was gone at once. It happened over a long period of time.
You're making it seem like, well, he just impersonated Ohtani. Do you need information to be able to get to do all the things, to change passcodes, to be able to wire money? That information was given to him by Ohtani.
Right, because he was exactly.
That's what I said. It's got to be a rube.
Information,
but you allowed him in.
Advantage of in a new country. He's not from here. You say he gave that speech in English. I think there's a big difference between giving a speech and fluently understanding the language. I mean, I think he was taken advantage of in a new country.
Listen, Dan,
that's true.
You can certainly make the case that we are biased against Ohtani with our opinion. You at least have to admit that you are going over the top the other way.
You are going over the top, Don, to say
that it doesn't stink, to just believe everything as is, I think is a little naive.
But if the DOJ says that he's completely innocent, why shouldn't we believe it? The DOJ, like I said before,
there's difference between what you can prove and what you can believe. I mean, if Ohtani was, if they were careful with it, I mean, they could show the guy is accusing him of stealing, and then you could show the evidence is that, yeah, he stole. But that doesn't necessarily mean that, that everything seems to be up and up. You've had bankers tell you, Michael, that it would be very difficult to do this. How could it possibly happen? How could all this money go away without anybody noticing it whatsoever? Now, maybe they can't nail it down and prove it, because remember, in order to get a conviction, you got to be 100% sold that it happened. And if they're not, if they're 50%, they're like, it might not be worth it. You at least have to admit the thing stinks to high heaven. And if you don't admit that, then you obviously are biased in favor of Ohtani.
Don, I will admit that when this story first broke, I was very skeptical. But when the Department of Justice comes out with a 40-page complaint that fully details what happens, I choose to believe them. And they say that he's a victim. And I don't know why the DOJ and Homeland Security and the IRS would be covering for someone who's not even a citizen.
It's not covering. It's do they have evidence that Ohtani was in on it? And if they don't...
No, they have evidence exonerating him. They have the exact opposite. And I don't know why I'm not the one who's saying that.
I'm willing to say that he's a rube and he's totally innocent. And he should talk about what pitch he hit for a home run. That's all I'm saying.
I'll be out in L.A. this year for the
Yankees-Angels series. Anybody who wants to talk with me, I'll be there, whatever.
And when you come out to Dodger Stadium next year, I would love to, you know, come. You're my favorite American League broadcaster. I love the show.
Dan, this was a good conversation. You weren't rude. You laid out your points. No. I thought you laid out your points. Great. I'm glad that we could have this discussion. I don't want people in L.A. to hate me.
No.
I don't. I mean, my two co-hosts hate me. Why do I need people in L.A. to hate me?
Again, just doesn't make sense.
It's unbelievable how sensitive people are. Like, look at this guy, Sean. I'm not a Dodger fan, but wow, the whole Michael K. Ohtani stuff is crazy. Guy doing backflips, hoping Ohtani is a criminal mastermind who could cover his tracks but not smart enough to cover his translator's tracks, as if athlete celebrities haven't been ripped off before. I want Ohtani to be guilty? Why? Why would I want that?
That's the last thing you want, Michael. You know how important he is to baseball. And as a baseball fan, you should be rooting for everything to be okay. We're just honestly thinking this thing just doesn't make a lot of sense to us.
Well, New York Post has a pretty big story you guys should probably be paying attention to.
What is it?
The headline is, women's butt sizes around the world revealed. Which countries have the biggest and smallest?
Well, when we get back, you can tell us. I talk for a living, and whether I'm in the studio or at the ballpark, I am sure to have a cup of Bigelow tea by my side. There's nothing like fueling my voice, body, and soul with only the finest tea. Bigelow Earl Grey, this delightful blend of black tea and real bergamot oil, is not your ordinary tea. It's a broadcaster's dream come true. Keeps me energized and focused throughout the broadcast, ensuring I deliver nothing but the best for my loyal listeners. So join the millions of fans that make Bigelow tea number one in New York. Bigelow tea, the official hot tea of the New York Yankees.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg, letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
According to Sam Blum, Ipe appeared in court today with shackles around his ankles. This is big-time stuff, people.
Yeah.
He's released on a $25,000 bond with conditions that include he cannot leave the Central District of California without permission, cannot contact Otani, and go to a mandatory gambler's addiction program. Talk about a guy who threw away a dream job.
Again, though, we still don't know so much. This story still doesn't make sense.
Well, Carla thinks it does now.
Well, you know, he read it and he knows it all. But well, I mean, maybe it'll be clear if I read the entire thing. But I still think this is wide open to what could have really happened.
Again, this is a legitimate question. I don't know the answer. Dan kept saying about he was fully exonerated by Homeland Security. Does that mean that fully exonerated, or we don't have enough here to believe that he's lying? The allegation is that Epi stole from him. Right? That's the allegation.
Yeah, it looks like they have a lot of proof.
And they have a lot of proof that he stole from him. But does that mean he's, you know, Otani's fully exonerated, or that, hey, we've got enough here that he did steal from you and we're going to prosecute him? I think
they have enough.
Yeah, so they have enough. But did they have enough to think that he was involved? Because maybe Otani was smart enough to not leave a paper trail by looking at the text messages.
Yeah, but I hear what you're saying. But you know, the Department of Justice is supposedly pretty smart. I don't. They have no dog in the fight to protect Otani. Baseball does.
It's not.
But
the
Department of Justice doesn't.
But what are they reviewing? They're again, correct me if I'm wrong, from what my understanding is.
But from what I'm understanding is that Otani has given his phone, too. So all right. Communication between the two of them over the last 3 years has been reviewed.
Right. So, but their objective was to see if there's enough to go on that Otani was robbed.
Right.
So are they investigating whether Otani was in on it? Or are they just investigating?
Yeah, but if he was in on it, he wasn't robbed.
Right.
So they obviously think that he wasn't in on it.
So, but just because there wasn't any text messages or emails, it's probably, I never believed he bet on baseball, Michael. I never believed that he bet on anything. But it's
still... You just
still,
think that he might be protecting his
friend. I think he's protecting his friend. I mean, the same thing happened with Anderson with Barry Bonds, right? He actually went to jail for his buddy. It feels like this because how do you explain what I'd like to ask Dan if he was still on? Then how do you explain Otani's people letting him go and then the first thing he says is that it was lent to me? How do you explain that? Or I guess he lied, but you're the one who sent him out there. Thinking he was going to say one thing and he said another. So all we're saying is not one person has ever accused Otani of anything. The thing just stinks and it doesn't make a lot of sense. We're not the only people who feel that way. Now, what's the extent of the involvement? I don't know. And if you're a baseball fan, you should be rooting for Otani to be fully exonerated because we want to watch this guy play. And the last thing baseball wants is a controversy. But when I asked Dan, and he wouldn't give it, you got to at least admit the guy's a rube.
You know what's amazing to me is that, I mean, L.A. fans, Dodger fans don't show up at the ballpark until the third inning. they have enough energy to hate us for questioning this. It's unbelievable. The guy's been a Dodger for 6 weeks. It's unbelievable.
But
that he should speak every day like Aaron Judge and Francisco Lindor and Mike Trout do.
But you know, I'm a bad guy for thinking that. But you know, fans don't care about that, Michael.
But why would you rip someone? It's such an obvious point. I wish we had Manfred on the air. Why is he in every player contract? It says that you have to engage with the media. It's part of the rules of engagement.
Baseball is in a very precarious situation. They desperately need this guy. They need him.
But it's still odd they'd be so obvious with different rules for him. Like, you can be that blatant, though? He just doesn't talk?
Listen to our Trey Wingo. I mean, he's a man in love. So, Justin Ray writes, Tiger Woods will make his 24th consecutive cut at the Masters.
And already
Trey, he already made it. Trey goes, on one leg, basically held together with chicken wire and gum. Remarkable.
Hey, listen, that's his cross to bear.
No, I mean, it's not totally untrue.
But, I mean, he loves him some Tiger.
Yeah,
so do I. It's America.
But not to that, but even
not
Peter.
Not to that.
It does get a little awkward to some of these people, and I get it.
I wouldn't have tweeted that.
When you grow up with a team, and it's odd. That's why I never really got into individual sports, because I just can never give my heart to just one guy, one person, like a team, the history of the team. And I have favorite players. I love Lawrence Taylor. I love Nolan Ryan. I love Doc Gooden. There was a lot of players I loved. But to be fully invested in the success and failure of an individual, not attached to a team, it's odd to me. Obviously, there's a lot of people that do it. But to be sick and in love with your favorite team, like you with the Commanders or me with the Giants or the Mets, but for an individual,
let's go to Jay in Diker. Jay.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Always.
Thank you. Usually I don't agree with Mike, but that Bob interview was, wow, he really phoned it in. I don't know how
wow.
You and Don and Peter are so off with this. This is crazy. You guys give great interviews, so it definitely wasn't you guys. It was, and Bob has a distinctive voice that when he talks, you know it's exactly Bob Fusion. But you couldn't even tell who it was. I was like, why is you on the phone with this person so long?
You thought it was a long, bad caller.
I thought it was a long call. I'm like, and then when I'm listening, I'm like, I wonder if Mike would ever just hang up, because I know Mike gets real mad real quick. It's like a snap of a thing, and I wonder if he, you know, what Mike just says. All right, thanks, buddy. Have a good one. I thought he was going to do it at the second, but I know you guys, you know, are close to Bob and stuff. I just also wanted to make a comment about the Knicks. Don, it was so funny because I was going to say, I was thinking about this last night or today, that people are going to say that the Celtics wasn't playing for it, but they was. That's why they put Kristaps in there. They put certain players in the beginning, because if they didn't, they would have probably got blown out by 50 by halftime. And you could tell the way the coach had his strategies. He was trying to hit him early, but the thing with the Knicks is if you could hit him in the mouth early, you might have a chance. But if not, by halftime, it's over. So I just want to give a shout-out to the Knicks. They've been really playing good, and I honestly think we could beat anybody east or west. So I'm just happy and excited for that, and I'm just can't wait to see what they do in the playoffs.
Cool.
Thanks for taking my call.
You got to have a great weekend.
Again, I don't want to sit there and argue with it. The score is the score, and the players played. I just think that if you think that's what you're going to get in a best-of-seven series, I think, especially in the NBA, guys, we see it all the time, where just some teams just don't have it. Like the Knicks beat the Nuggets up at the Garden, and I give them credit for that. Does that mean that they would beat them in the finals? According to that caller, yeah, I guess they can beat anybody. And I think in any given moment they can. But it's a lot to add to win four rounds. A team that hasn't been out of the second round going on 25 years, relying on really one player. You don't think in a best-of-seven series they can't devise a way to slow down Brunson in one game when it doesn't mean anything for the Celtics? We're going to judge that game on whether they can beat them in a best-of-seven in the conference final?
I believe that they were trying things out if they do face them. You know,
or were they not giving them a lot because they know they could face them? Right? I mean, I just know in sports, Mike, we've been following it a long time.
when a team doesn't have anything to play for, going up against a team that plays, and you know how the Knicks play, they play every night like it's game seven. That it's really difficult to say that that's how it's going to play itself out. Remember in 2013, Michael, the Knicks beat the Heat 3 out of 4 times in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they never got a chance to play the Heat because they were beaten by the Pacers. But was that going to translate into beating LeBron James in a best of seven? There's a big difference between the regular season when a team's got everything clinched and another team's still playing for seeding and having to try to beat that team 4 times in a best of seven series. Can they? Of course they can. But I'm not going to relate it to what happened last night.
No. I think you just look at the whole body of work and say, hey, they're a spunky team. They could beat anybody. So, but I'm not basing it off last night. Peter, FanDuel, you got anything on that?
Yeah, no, you know I do, Michael. FanDuel, they're really killing it during the playoff season, which is here for the NBA and the NHL. And baseball, of course, is in full swing. And with FanDuel, you can bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's right, $150, win or lose. All right, bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that is safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Peter and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, 21 and over and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com for help with a gambling problem. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
God. You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass.
I think now what we're seeing is more concerned with velocity, more concerned with spin rate. And I don't think they teach the mechanics as much as they did when I was coming up and doing my time in the 80s. And I think that's a problem. Even with the pitchers, they're doing like the half windup now. I don't think they're getting the full momentum as they possibly can out of the windup and using their legs more. I think now it's just more throwing as opposed to pitching. And it's nothing against the pitchers. I think it's just the way the systems are now and the way the game's taught. I don't know what the analytics or the technology has a lot to do with it. But the game's changed so much where, say, like a Greg Maddux or a Tom Glavine, they probably wouldn't even be looked at today because they didn't throw in the upper 90s. It's all about velocity and spin rate now. And I think guys are more concerned with that than working mechanics and working on developing, you know, different pitches, different arm angles is not important. And I think that's why we're seeing more injuries now.
What a weekend for Doc. He's going to get his number retired Sunday.
Even bigger, though.
Today. Wow. Mets announced Jose Buto will start Sunday for them on Doc Living Day.
What do you think is a bigger deal for him? The point guard?
It's close. Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know if I have an answer.
You have to ask him, Peter.
Yeah.
By the way, I was so, it was so nice that he brought that up. Like, Don, you probably, I think Michael was off. I think you remember the conversation we had with him last summer where we really drove, well, we've done this a couple times, though. I know one Michael was here for, too. We have sort of really driven that conversation of when will they retire their numbers.
You know what's shocking to me, though, guys?
Huh. What's that?
Greek just told me, our producer from Yes, Anthony Greek, that there are plenty of tickets available for Sunday.
Yeah.
The Royals are good. The Royals are not a bad team.
Nobody cares about the Royals, Michael.
But do you care about Dwight Gooden?
Yeah, but unfortunately, you know, it's Sunday, so there's really no built-in excuse. I don't know. I'm not going. I mean, I got other things going on. Doesn't mean that I don't care. You know, it's a ceremony that it maybe doesn't resonate with enough people to want to be there. There's a whole generation that maybe doesn't remember Doc.
Maybe it was a little too late.
Who knows?
Maybe, you know, if they did this when they should have, like 10, 15 years ago, you know, maybe it would be a little bit. I mean, guy hasn't pitched for the Mets in, God, how long now?
Since 94.
30 years. So well, you got a 30-year-old that doesn't even know Doc Gooden.
Paul O'Neill, it took them 20 years to retire his number, and it was sold out.
All right, so the Yankees are better than the Mets.
No, but that's what
you're getting at. So.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that why aren't Met fans selling out that game? They just had
the Mets
a great series against Atlanta. They won 2 out of 3. They had a great road trip.
I know, but ultimately I think there's a lot of people that are just don't believe in this team. They're going to play a wait-and-see attitude. I still think, you know, going to a game is still about going to the game. Mets-Royals is not very sexy. You know, it's April. It's cold. A lot of other things going on. And it just it's not resonating with people for whatever reason. But if this team, if they do it later in the year when they do straw and the team's good and you've got a good team, and who do the Yankees play that day? Yankees are always good, but who do they play when they play?
I don't think it was. I mean, if you smartly schedule a number retirement, you do it when a team's not good that's
right.
coming in.
Now I'm sure there'll be some
tickets.
Now you know you might wait and see what the weather's going to be like. There's probably going to be a good walk up. I'm sure you're going to get a lot more people there for Mets Royals than you would otherwise. I don't think, you know, the fact that they played in the World Series is going to get anybody to resonate. It's the Royals, but but you ask me, I'm not surprised it's not sold out. But I don't think it has anything to do with people not caring about Doc.
No, I don't think that's it either. Peter, are you handling Allen Iverson at all?
You want to talk about the trophy?
Yeah,
sure. We can talk about the trophy, but I don't have it listed for ENN. If you want to talk about it,
interesting.
Now. Well, it was.
I thought about it, but go ahead.
He got the Sixers said they were going to build a statue in front of their practice facility in Philly, and the unveiling was today. It's kind of the size of a toy soldier. Kind of weird.
Just the fact it's the practice facility. What does that tell you?
Yeah, but if you put it in front of Wells Fargo, that's the Flyers too. I mean, they're at the practice facility more than the game.
Yeah, but the fans aren't. You don't put who you putting it up for, the players or for the fans? Fans don't go to the practice facility; they go to the games.
I mean, it's like a little tiny thing.
Oh, but did you see them with? Did you see like the other ones that exist also that are similar?
They're all small, yeah.
They're all relatively small, but when you see it alone, it looks like
his son.
It looks like a school for ants. to reference Zoolander, if you will. It looks very small.
But honestly, who puts statues from the practice facility? Like, who goes to the practice facility? Well, the Flyers play there too, but you know, you still have a statue of Bobby Orr outside TD Garden, and the Celtics play there.
Not a game. We talking about practice.
You know, the statues
maybe that's
for Kobe and Shaq and all that are outside, what do they call it, Crypto.com Arena or whatever, and the Clippers and the Kings play there. I don't think it has anything to do with that. I just don't know why you would put a statue up at the practice facility. What fans would see it? Fans don't go to the practice facility.
I love there's times I love social media for the absurdity of it.
Okay.
So Andrew Hartz, right? And I just looked. He's got like 1,500 followers. He says he does a podcast. He just writes to me, Doc Gooden ceremony is Saturday, not Sunday. No, Andrew, it's Sunday. Why would you write something that's wrong like that and say it with such certitude? Doc Gooden Day is Sunday. I'm right about this, right?
I'm a little taken aback.
You upset?
Well, it's just like Lupica
wrote
a story.
Aren't they both
Sundays? Doc Gooden deserves an amazing day with Mets on Sunday. And this guy just writes it's Saturday. No, it's not. So I'd like to know, Andrew, call in. Tell us where you got this information that you felt that you should tweet it out and correct me when I'm wrong. It's hilarious. It's Saturday, not Sunday. It's Sunday.
Aren't both days Sundays?
What?
Doc Day and Daryl Day?
I don't know.
I feel like they're always Sunday. Days like this. Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, Old Timers Day was Saturday a couple of years ago. I don't know. I don't know what decides when.
Here you go.
What do you got?
I got April 14th would be Doc. That would be Sunday.
Yeah. Sure. Yes, Andrew, that's Sunday.
And June 1st for Daryl.
So let's see when June 1st is.
I'm looking right now.
June 1st is a Saturday.
Oh, so maybe that's a confusion.
Steve Cohen tweeted it Sunday.
Yeah, Andrew, Steve, why don't you at Steve Cohen, the owner of the team, he said it's Sunday. You want to correct him, Andrew?
That's just odd that you would take that moment and the effort. Now, why they determined one over the other, maybe it's just the fact that maybe Doc's got something going on Saturday.
Well, I think Bobblehead Day is Saturday, but Doc Gooden Day is Sunday.
But how they determine the day, because y'all would think, well, maybe because Saturday's a night game. No, they're both at 1:40, so it's just a matter of, you know, what the family's doing. Are they around?
Although, that's absurd. I mean, the family has, if they had it on Saturday, they'd have to, like, make arrangements.
No, but I'm saying when they probably put together, you know, what day works for you, right? I mean, maybe both work. I don't know. He said it's, you know, so I really don't know what goes into it, Michael.
But Andrew says it's Saturday. So those that don't have tickets, I guess, according to Andrew, buy them for Saturday. You'll be surprised. Yeah. To hit a home run, everything needs to line up perfectly, no different than finding the person you want to marry. When the time comes to propose, well, do what I did. Visit the engagement experts at London Jewelers. They'll make shopping for a ring easy and help you hit it out of the park. Let them help you pick or design the perfect ring to fit any budget from their 2x London collection. London Jewelers is committed to getting it just right. So visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including the Americana Mall and the Mall at Short Hills. Mention I told you to stop by, you'll get the Michael K treatment. Empire Outlets on Staten Island is the place to be this spring season for your ultimate shop and dine experience. Empire Outlets is located steps from the Staten Island Ferry, easily accessible to all New York City and New Jersey residents. Shop outlets like Nike Factory, Levi's Outlet, Banana Republic Factory, Guess Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Gap Factory, Nordstrom Rack, and more. Dine at restaurants including Shake Shack, Bake Culture, and Hazel's 423 food truck. Visit EmpireOutlets.nyc and follow on Instagram at Empire Outlets to learn more about what Empire Outlets is offering.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.